أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي لا يسأم من كثرة السؤال والطلب. سبحانه إذا سئل أعطى وأجاب، وإذا لم يسأل غضب. أعطى الدنيا لمن يحب ولا يحب، ولا يعطي الدين إلا لمن أحب ورغب. من ركن إلى غيره دل وهان واعتز به ظهر وغلب. نحمده تبارك وتعالى على كل ما منح وسلم، ونعوذ بوجهه الكريم من العناء والنصب. له الملك وهو المالك، يحكم ما يريد، فلا تعقيب ولا عجب. وأشهد أن خاتم المرسلين هو محمد بن عبد الله بن عبد المطلب، نطق بأصح الكلام وبين وعدل الأحكام وما قرأ ولا كذب، إمام الغر المحجلين وخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، من سورة العنكبوت، الله says: ألف لام ميم، أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. صدق الله العظيم. الله says in this ayah: Did people think that they will indeed not be tested? They will just say that we believe, but they will not be tested. We have indeed tested those who came before them, so that we know who is true and who is not true. The word fitna comes in the Quran, and it's an important concept to understand. Unfortunately, it's one of these words that cannot be translated literally into one word in English. So although sometimes it's translated as being tested, it also stands for temptation, stands for seduction, and stands for trial, stands for several things. So to understand what is meant by fitna, let's go back to the root of the word in the Arabic language. In the Arabic language, they say fitna al-dahar. This is how they purify gold. So when they get the gold ore, they heat it to very high temperatures. When it's heated, the impurities either evaporate or float to the surface. And that's how you get pure gold. And it's further interesting as well, because when you heat it to a certain temperature, you can get the 14 karat gold. If you heat it further, you get the 21 karat gold. And if you heat it very much, you get the pure 24 karat gold. And this is exactly how fitna applies. The harder the tests a human being goes through, the more purified his heart becomes. Subhanallah. So this is a very accurate description of how things are, and this is what I want to talk about today. Now this ayah that I referred to was actually revealed in Mecca. When the da'wah started in Mecca and the Muslims were being hurt a lot, one of the Sahaba called Khabbab ibn al-Harb, he was tortured by getting him to lay on burning coal until his back, the fat of his back, actually melted. So he was really tortured quite badly. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "What is happening? Why is this happening? Are we not on the right path? Is Allah not with us?" And this is when this ayah was revealed. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا أَمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think that they will say, "Oh, we believe," without being tested? This is the test. Now, obviously we don't feel that, you know, you have to be burnt with coal, or you have to have the fat of your back burnt before you are tested. Because fitna varies with time and with place and with a person. Allah tests everybody, and Allah knows what everybody is made of. And as a matter of fact, the fitna, the tests of the Anbiya and the Salihin are probably the hardest, the toughest, because that's what they are made of, and that's why they want to be purified. So the fitna can vary a lot from one person to another, and from one time to another. But that's one thing that we all need to remember. Anybody who is mu'min will have to go through this fitna, testing, call it whatever you want to call. Now, we all read Surah Al-Kahf on Friday. We know that it is sunnah to read Surah Al-Kahf Friday or evening of Thursday after Maghrib prayer on Thursday until Maghrib prayer on Friday. This is the sunnah. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us to do that. And it is said that we do that, it would protect us from fitna and would protect us from the fitna of the Masih al-Dajjal, the Antichrist. And it's very interesting that when we look into this surah, why this particular surah in particular, and why has the Prophet asked us to do that on a Friday? Many, many things have been written about that. But it's very interesting if we look a bit further into the surah itself, into what it was talking about. And it's actually discussing four types of fitna. The fitna of religion, testing in religion, the fitna of money, the fitna of knowledge, and the fitna of power. Four different stories that Allah puts through this ayah to teach us about these. So we will very quickly try to touch on each of them and see how it can apply to us today in different ways, of course, as I said, because it varies with time and with place and with the person. Now, the first story is about Ahl al-Kahf, which was a group of young men who were believers in Allah, and they had pure belief. Unfortunately, the society they were living in was all made of non-believers. Not only non-believers, but also they would harm anybody who proclaims belief in Allah. And they would harm anybody who proclaims that there is a God. And these fikya, these young men, were quite keen to keep and adhere to the religion. So they were tested. And they found that the only way that they can keep their belief is to run away with their belief. So they ran away and they went to hide in a cave. That's why Surah Al-Kahf. And that's where Allah has made them in this state of suspended animation for about 300 years. Then brought them back to life again. So it's not about the details of the story. And that's why Allah says in the surah, they are going to argue how many are they? Are they 5 or 6 or 7 or 9? They had a dog with them. It's not about the details. It's not about who was there or how many they were. It's about learning. What do we learn from this? That these are young men who were in a society that was against religion. Young men in a society that was full of disbelievers. Young men in a society that is full of temptations. And on top of all that as well, they were also brought to harm just by declaring their belief. So what did they do? Did they give in? Did they give in to peer pressure? Did they say, fine, look, everybody else is doing it, we'll just do it? They didn't do that. They adhered to the religion. And they chose the way of Allah. And how were they rewarded? Allah has broken the rules of physics for them. He allowed them to be in suspended animation for 300 years, more than 300 years, in a cave. And while in the cave, He made the sun change path so it does not wake them up. Allah has changed everything for this group of a handful of young men. So from this we learn that we might be living in a society that is full of unbelievers, disbelievers. We might be living in a society that's got a lot of temptations around us. But at least we are not going through what they've gone through. At least we are not going through persecution for this. So sometimes it is hard, especially for the young people here, with all the temptations and all the things that are going around us in society. and all the peer pressure. But this is what we learn here. We have to stay steadfast on our religion. Now, very interestingly as well, in Surah Al-Kahf, every time it discusses one of the fitan, it gives the answer as to how do you stand against this fitna. So, after it gives the story of Ahl al-Kahf, the young people who went to the Kahf, went to the cave, it gives the answer. How do you face the fitna if you are faced with the fitna in religion? Where it says, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. So what do you do if you find yourself in a situation where you're being tested with your religion? Stay together, stay close to other people who want the akhirah. Stay close to other people who have iman, because they will help you and you will help them. Stay together. This is the advice. The second advice, وَلَا تُطْعَ مَنْ أَخْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. Do not follow those who follow the whims. People will tell you, look, oh, it's very difficult, it's very tough, it's very hard. What do you mean you can wear a hijab? You know, you wear a hijab here, they might pull your hijab, they might harm you in the street. Right? Don't listen to these people. وَلَا تُطْعَ مَنْ أَخْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. You are people that Allah has made their heart away from his remembrance. Then the third advice, and it's interesting, when you read, next time you read Surah Al-Kahf, read these and you'll find these ayat coming immediately after the story. The third advice, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا عَتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهَ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا. Say to yourself and to other people, there is no obligation in religion. Whoever wants to believe, believe. If you don't want to believe, don't believe. There is no compulsion in religion. But remember the hereafter. If you make the decision now, if you make the choice now to be one of the believers, then you know where you're going, you know your path. And if you make the decision now to follow the non-believers and follow the people who follow the whims, إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. Allah tells us that He has prepared for these people a hellfire, وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, in the hereafter. Then we move on to the next story in Surah Al-Kahf, where Allah gives us a story of two men who've had gardens. And by gardens, it might be a farm or more than just a garden. So one of them was so taken away by the fact that his garden was very lush, produces, has very good produce, and he felt that, look, this can never go wrong. Allah has given me that, but he then forgot that it was given to him by Allah, and he started attributing this to himself, and did not thank Allah for what he was given. And he was punished by having this garden or this farm overnight completely destroyed. And this again gives us the idea of fitna of money. If Allah gives you money and you find that you are rich or you have some extra money, remember it's all from Allah. You must attribute it to Allah. It's not due to you being clever or a good business person or because of you being very clever. It's nothing to do with that. It's all from Allah. And you must always attribute this to Allah, and you must always use your money in Allah's way. So you must do your zakah and you must do your sadaqat. So this can be one of the most serious fitan that people go through. And we see that over and over again. People who are fine and they're doing very well, but as soon as they become well off financially, they forget about what they were before. And they get dragged into this, and they're quite happy with the new power and money that they found, and they lose their way. So this is a big fitna. And again, immediately after the story, when you read the Surah Al-Kahf, you will find that Allah is giving us the answer. How do you deal with this fitna? It says, المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. Allah reminds us that money and kids and all this, these things that we all hope for are just temporary things in this life. But what really stays is doing the right thing towards Allah. Now, when you read Surah Al-Kahf or you read Quran generally speaking, unless you ponder on it a bit and sort of take a step back and try to think about it, sometimes it looks like, hang on, what is the relation of this? You know, he was talking about the story of two men and their gardens and the lush garden, and then all of a sudden he talks about al-malu wal-banun zinat al-hayat al-dunya. What's the relationship? This is the relationship. This is why you need to have scholars to explain things to us, because Quran is full of secrets, and these secrets are revealed over the years, and Allah gives it to people to explain it to simple people like ourselves, and it's continuously being revealed. And you would be surprised that when you read Surah Al-Kahf, if you've been reading it every Friday, you might find that you have read the Surah Al-Kahf 100 times, and all of a sudden you read it and there is an ayah that you look at and it's as if the first time you've noticed it. This is the mu'jiza, this is the miracle of the Quran. It's continuously being renewed itself. It's alive, it's a book that comes alive. It's a book that reveals itself over the years. It's a book that keeps revealing itself and renewing itself. So, I'm afraid we look like we're running out of time because we started late today, so I'll have to stop here. Maybe we'll continue this in some other khutbah, inshallah. But just to remind you of what I'm saying here, please, 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 if you haven't said Surah Al-Kahf today, you can still read it until Maghrib. When you go and read it, just think about what you're reading. And I'll just give you a little hint as well. It's very interesting here that Surah Al-Kahf talks about, as I said, four stories or four fitan. The interesting thing is that it talks about two fitan, which we discussed, the religion, fitna of religion and fitna of money. And then all of a sudden it goes into a different track altogether and starts talking about the story of Adam and the devil, Qisat al-Shaytan. And you might think, hang on, what is the relationship of this? Why is this coming now? And it's coming because it's a very interesting thing. It is showing you that all the fitan that we face in the world are usually provoked by shaitan, provoked by the devil. And that's why it comes in the middle. And interestingly, Surah Al-Kahf is the middle of the Quran. In Surah Al-Kahf, the word فَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ is exactly half of the Quran. So they've counted it and they found that the number of letters before the fa in فَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ, the number of letters from the b, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, until fa فَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ is equal exactly to the number of letters from fa فَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ until seen in مَنَكِجَنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. So Surah Al-Kahf is exactly in the middle of the Quran, half of the Quran, and the stories Allah is giving us about the different fitan, in the middle exactly, He tells us about the story of the shaitan. Subhanallah, these are all sort of revelations that are quite interesting to think about. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, as I said, unfortunately I won't be able to finish this, but I promise we'll finish another talk inshallah. But just to sum up here, to end up here, there's a hadith of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم when he told the Sahaba, ما لي أرى الفتن تتساقط عليكم كتساقط المطر. Why do I see fitan falling on you like rain? And this was for the Sahaba, who we know what the Sahaba are, we know where they were, and they were subjected to fitan that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns them about. So where are we? We are subjected to even more fitan. We are subjected to testing. We are subjected to these tests day in, day out. We need to be very aware of them. And we need to look around us and see what's happening so we don't fall into these, inshallah. Now, one last thing, I just want to make an announcement. If anybody has got zakah money that he or she do not have a spending for it, we have got a very good cause. And if you want to do any donations from your zakah or sadaqat, of course, please give it to Brother Mushtaq. We do have a very good cause. I don't want to elaborate anymore, but it is a very, very, very good cause, and it is Masraf min Masarif al-Sakan. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عن سواك اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ضائقا ولا محروما يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم وأقم الصلاة رحمك الله